to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to.
We'll go back to base one.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, worship team. Please take a seat if you haven't already. Don't get your communion cups out. We're switching the order around this morning. So that means the kids can go out if you're ready. Oh, my kids are over there. All right. Well, good afternoon. So we're continuing our series on well-being and what does well-being look like in the kingdom of God. And it's fallen to me to have a look at well-being and the cosmic battle. So I've called it well-being and the cosmic powers, living free of the powers. Because where this connects is if you think about what well-being really is, I define it as it's living a life that reflects God's original vision and plan for humanity. Living a life that's connected to God and living a life that is not under the influence of other powers. So I thought we'd get going this afternoon by taking a look back at last week at the survey that Jeff did with us, and see where that takes us. So I haven't pulled out every question, but I've pulled out a couple that gave some interesting answers. So this was the response to how would you describe the state of your spiritual health? And we've got everything from absolutely stunning to stagnant. Now, it's clear that there's a few of these answers have come from the older members of our congregation, things like, all right. So for the younger people, if you don't understand, all right, it's like, all right, not too bad, pretty good. And then the next question, describe your current spiritual or emotional state. I was actually quite encouraged by the last question. If you don't know how these tag clouds work, the bigger the word, the more people gave that response. And growing was the biggest response. So that's encouraging. This one, the biggest response was okay. That could mean a number of things. You know, that could be okay, or it could be okay. But then we've got a few other things in there, things like numb, roller coaster, up and down, turbulent, all over the place. All right. And there's some good ones in there too. But, you know, I think the reality is that we all go through these kinds of things. We have seasons of life where we are all right, and we have seasons of life where we're struggling. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've had a look at some of those areas of our life, and, you know, Maria talked to us about, you know, acknowledging the emotional stuff that's going on inside of us. You know, and Jeff talked about, you know, taking stock and having a bit of assessment of how are we going? How does it compare with what the word says? You know, and some of these things require some effort from us. You know, the things I've just mentioned are our kind of effort, you know, owning our emotions, taking stock. You could include in there as well the, you know, what you would call the spiritual disciplines, reading your Bible, praying, solitude, fasting, giving, all of those kinds of things that throughout church history have been the mark of the Christian. But sometimes our effort doesn't seem to shift whatever we're struggling with. Sometimes we can get stuck. And I think sometimes if we're stuck, perhaps there's other powers holding us back. You know, what Paul would refer to as the principalities, the powers, the world rulers from Ephesians, or the elemental spirits from Colossians, or Satan or the devil. They all get a mention in Scripture. And they're all things that we have to contend with as Christians if we want to live a life of well-being in the kingdom as God intended. So I just want to take a bit of a moment here to think about this, because that's kind of suggesting that we might be Christians, but we might still have demonic influence in our life. Is that right? Because I know there are Christians that would disagree with that. They would say, no, I'm a Christian. I belong to God. And that's true. So how is it that evil powers can have influence over God's people? I think part of it comes from the way we think about this wrongly can come from our idea that salvation is just a magic moment. You know, one time 20 years ago, I prayed the magic prayer and now everything is okay. I'm a Christian now. And we can deprioritize the idea that salvation is also meant to be a life of ongoing faithfulness. I think it's worth just taking a moment to think about the word gospel. And I've talked about this before, but because we think about, you know, in our sort of Western Christianity, we just think about the gospel as we hear the good news that Jesus can forgive my sins, I believe and I go to heaven. And we make the gospel about us. But the gospel is actually about Jesus. It's about the King who has come, displace the powers that were there in the world, because he is now the righteous king. Forgiveness comes in as part of that package. And when we believe in him, it's transferring our allegiance from other powers to Jesus. And then we need to keep on believing. This is what Paul says in Colossians. He says, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Oops, so far, so good. Sounds like the gospel we all know. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. So Paul places an if in there. There's an ongoing expectation of faithfulness. And then this is how Paul talks about the Christian's interaction with powers. And he gives quite a number of warnings throughout Scripture. Again, in Colossians, he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." So he's warning, he's speaking to Christians here. He's saying, Christians, don't be taken captive, I'm going to skip that bit, according to elemental spirits. So according to the powers which you once worshipped, don't be taken captive again. Or Galatians, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So as Christians, we can put ourselves back under slavery. Perhaps the clearest one, I think, is in Ephesians. This is in chapter 4. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." Or some translations will say, "Do not give a foothold to the devil." Now, that's a really interesting word, that word opportunity or foothold. It's a geographic word. It's a word of place, like a place of habitation. So listen to it this way. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no place of habitation for the devil. Don't give the devil room in your heart. We can see this in operation in some of the stories through the Gospels and Acts. You know, Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." This is Jesus who's been walking with him all that time. And you can see that he's under the influence of Satan. Or even Ananias and Sapphira, you know, new believers who, you know, were probably part of that whole, you know, Acts 2 Pentecost experience. And Peter says to them, you know, "Satan has entered your heart." They gave the devil room in their heart. So I think you could summarize it like this. When our life, when our thinking does not align, and I could say our acts do not align with Jesus, then we put ourselves at risk of being influenced by demons. James is pretty clear about that. He talks about jealousy and selfish ambition and says it's demonic thought. And Paul gives this warning. He says, "We are not unaware of the devil's schemes." So that's where we enter in. We have to know, what are the devil's schemes, and what is life with Jesus meant to look like? And how do I live life so that I'm just following Jesus and not coming under the devil's influence? So, what are the devil's schemes? Well, there's lots, I think. We couldn't do all of them today. But look, the devil's main scheme is encouraging us to sin, right? We all have areas of struggle, and he loves to try and inflame that and encourage that. But there's three that I really wanted to focus on this morning. The first, and they're all sort of minimizing things. You know, the devil's a liar. He likes to twist the things of God and take a little truth and minimize the God part of it and make it into something else. And so the first one that I wanted to talk about is he loves to minimize our sense of community and togetherness. Satan loves to separate and isolate. We see this really particularly in the life of Elijah. We all know this story. Remember the prophets of Baal, and he has this big power encounter. Fire comes down from the mountain. You know, the sort of thing that we'd all love to be, you know, experience and, you know, be the prophet that calls down fire. And what does he do immediately afterwards? He runs away, scared, on his own, and he just, "I want to die. God, I'm the only one left. It's just me. I'm done. I want to die." We feel like that sometimes, don't we? We feel like no one understands. No one else can understand what I'm going through, what I've been through. And you know, it's mostly not true. Not really. Jesus certainly understands. And I think we know when this kind of thing is manifesting in us, when we want to run away. You know, I'm sure we can all think of a time when we've, you know, come to church or come to some kind of meeting and thought, "I've just got to get out of here. It feels uncomfortable." Holy Spirit starts moving, and all of a sudden we're thinking about dinner or the week or, you know, busy things, distractions, things that separate us from the people of God and from what God is doing. So that's the first one. I'm not going to talk about how to specifically deal with these as we go through. We'll come to that later. Satan loves to minimize our understanding of God. That's really the big one. Did God really say? That's what he's been doing from the beginning. Is God really good? Does he really want you to be blessed? Will he really take care of you? And you know this is happening anytime you feel fear. Because when we feel fear, we've forgotten that God is God. And he's there to take care of us. And no matter what happens, he's there. It's like I'm reminded of the Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego about to be cast into the flames, said our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we won't bow down and worship. They knew that God was really good. And I think he loves to minimize our confidence in our identity as people of God, in our identity as images of God, as sons and daughters. There's a really good story. You might know this one too from the book of Nehemiah, where he's rebuilding the, I forget if it was the walls or the temple, I think it was the walls. And they're building the wall, and Sanballat, Persian came along and he looks at them building and he says, that's never going to stand. You guys are useless. A little fox is going to crawl up there and the whole world will tumble. And Satan loves to do that to us when we step out to do something in faith and we get that sense that it will never work. They'll never listen to me. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to stay the same. A couple of years ago, some of you might remember this story because I've told it before, but we had the Vineyard Conference here in Adelaide, and there was a moment of ministry where God was doing something in me, and he revealed to me a spirit that was afflicting me. It sounds funny, but he showed it to me as this kind of little black slug that was inside me. I never get pictures like that. And the name of this thing was, your voice doesn't count. What you say doesn't matter. Has anyone ever felt like that? Like your voice doesn't count? Like everyone else has got a voice, but mine doesn't count. It's not from God. So how do we stand against these powers? Do we just say the magic words and cast them out and tell them to go? There's a place for that. But it didn't work out for the sons of Sceva, did it? Do you remember them in the book of Acts? They came along and thought they could do what Peter and Paul were doing. And they tried to cast this demon out of a person and said, in the name of the Jesus of Paul, we cast you out. And the demon spoke back and said, well, we know Paul and we know Jesus, but who are you? And they overpowered these sons of Sceva. It's not about the magic words we say, but see these sons of Sceva, they didn't know Jesus. And that's the key. That comes back to where we started about the gospel being about allegiance to Jesus. The way we stand against the powers is by making sure that our whole life is aligned with Him. That our trust in Jesus is not just a one-time event 20 years ago, but it's every day, every minute, I'm putting my allegiance with Jesus and trusting Him every moment of the way, in every area of my life. If you're not sure, if there's any areas that are not quite aligned, ask Him. It's like Toe said last week or the week before, it's Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and see if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. We don't need to go digging. We just ask Him, and He will show us. And then we can do what we need to do, repent or forgive someone or whatever it is we need to, whatever it is we need to do. And we do it in community. We do it with one another. You know, James says, forgive your sins to one another and they'll pray for you and you'll be healed. That's how this works. So that whole thing about the devil trying to separate us and keep us on our own, it doesn't work if we do things in community. Now, the classic bit of scripture, of course, about standing against the powers is Ephesians 6. So I want to take a little bit of a look through this. Because I think sometimes when we think about the armor of God, we think about it in terms of things that we need to do. I need to make sure that I put it on. But let's have a bit of a look through it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. The belt of truth is Jesus. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? I don't have any of my own. I have Jesus' righteousness. He gives it to me. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Well, what's the gospel? We've just said that. The gospel is the news about Jesus the King. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Faith in who? With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. Well, who's salvation about? Jesus. You see, there's a theme happening here. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. Putting on the armor of God is all about aligning ourselves with Jesus. You know, we align our thoughts with His thoughts. We align our heart with His heart and let His righteousness protect our heart and our whole being. We know His word so that we can discern between truth and lie. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We do it in community. It's not just me, but we pray for all the saints so that no one would be deceived. If we want to live free and experience well-being as it should be in the kingdom, We need to be ready to confront the powers that have sway in our lives. And to confront the powers, we need to align ourselves more and more with him, and not just assume that we've got it already. You know, when we find ourselves getting stuck, when we find ourselves struggling with something, with a sin that won't go away, or with a fear that we just can't shake, we need to confront the powers that are energizing that sin or that fear or whatever it is that's in opposition to God's plan and God's design for you. You know, and as we walk in more freedom and experience that well-being and experience the diminishing of other powers' influence on us, we get to then minister that to other people. We get to cast out the demons, bind up the brokenhearted, expand the territory of God's kingdom and reduce the influence of the powers everywhere we go. God said to Joshua, you know, every place where the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you. I want to finish with this because Jesus said a funny thing in Matthew. He said, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you know the context of that verse? It's in Jesus' instructions to the 12 when he was sending them out. He was sending them out to heal the sick and to cast out demons and to announce the presence of the king, to announce the gospel, the good news that Jesus was here. He was sending them out to confront the powers, proclaiming that they were now on notice because the king was here. We were made to do that too. We were made to be ministers of his kingdom, enjoying God, enjoying all the freedom that Jesus bought on the cross. We were made to have authority over the powers because we belong to Jesus. But allegiance to Jesus looks like losing ourselves, letting go of our pride, our sins, our selfishness, our preferences, our view on the world, and aligning every part of ourselves with him. We have everything to gain, and no other power can have sway over us when we're standing next to Jesus. So I'd like to invite Maria and the team to come up, and we're going to sing a couple of songs. And I just pray that Holy Spirit would come and minister to us and even bring conviction to our hearts if there's areas where we need to realign our hearts with him. Perhaps there's people that we need to forgive in our lives or sins to repent of. So let's let Holy Spirit come and minister to us. And after we've sung a couple of songs, Mel's going to lead us in communion as a fresh act of allegiance to Jesus.
Amen. A part of aligning ourselves to Jesus is surrendering all that we are, all that we have to him, and say, come and have your way. Be Lord of everything in my life. So can I invite you to stand as we sing our songs of surrender to beautiful love.